Would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was December 31st, 2022, around 2 in the morning, when I started to understand. Sitting with a tiny baby, just under 6 pounds, as he slowly drank a 3-ounce bottle, his eyes fluttering closed, I had to take off his tiny booties and tickle his cheeks to keep him awake enough to eat. Fully aware of how fragile this little life was, cradling his head just so because he didn't have the strength to hold it up himself, burping him every 1/2 ounce because his belly was still learning how to work, coaxing nourishment into him despite how sleep called to both of us. This is how the Almighty God chose to enter the world, needful and small. The Word that spoke the universe into being, wrapped in the fragile skin of a newborn. The Gospel of John begins not at the beginning of the life of Jesus, but at the beginning of time. Cosmic and poetic, less wrapped up in the details of shepherds and swaddling clothes than the other Gospels. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. The Gospel of John focuses on the transcendence of God, that God is the creator of all that is, incomprehensible force always unreachable by human mind or might. The Word that spoke the stars into being, the transcendent God, bigger than human comprehension or control or power. It is that God who will become flesh to live among us as Jesus. And this would not be the Holy One's first intervention into humanity. From the moment of creation, God's desire has been to draw near to us and for us to draw near to them. But we have over and over through the millennia chosen distance, chosen to try to go it on our own despite what havoc that has wrought. The garden, the Tower of Babel, the great flood, where God tried to destroy humanity in great waves of anger because things had gone so wrong. As John preached about a few weeks ago, God grieved this destruction and made a promise. Never again will God destroy. And God flung that rainbow covenant everywhere, promising to always remember that we are God's people, God's beloved. But still we strayed. There was Moses with the commandments that we just couldn't stick to. The great kings, the judges, the exile, the return, the prophets. Each time, God's desire was to draw close to us and for us to draw close to God. Each time, humanity misses the mark. The kings were imperfect. The judges were unfaithful. The people could not attend to the wisdom of the prophets. So God changed tactics again. A vision for Mary, of the mighty being brought down and the lowly lifted up. It would be her son who would bring about a new day, if she would be so willing. A baby would be the way. God would come down to us to live as we live, to be born and to grow and to die, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates it as this: the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Our neighborhood. These bodies, sinew and skin, muscle and fat, neurons and kneecaps, these bodies are our neighborhood. They are where we do the actual living of our lives. Sure, some of the thoughts that we think are important, but only insofar as they shape how we live in our bodies. The Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. It would no longer suffice for God to reside in the Holy of Holies in the temple, or even in the cloud that follows us on great pilgrimages, nor in the spirit world of ideas and theology or even story. But now God is enfleshed. The human form becomes the Holy of Holies. God so longed to draw near to us and for us to draw near to God, but we would not come home to God. And so God brought home to us. This man, this Jesus, would grow up to be healer and teacher, to live so fiercely for love that the powers of hate would put him to death. Jesus, who the creeds say descended into hell and on the third day rose again from the dead, and in so doing swallowed up death forever. But he didn't start out that way. God could have done anything. God could have emerged as a fully formed man, a political powerhouse, or even an elder in the temple or a wise one in the desert. But God chose to be an infant, the most vulnerable, dependent, and least likely kind of body to survive. Imagine it, the tiny holy hand stretched out to you. A newborn's hand is something to behold, their tiny wrinkled palms, the dimples where their knuckles are, those impossibly tiny pinky nails, the way that something so small could curl around your index finger, and in so doing teach you everything that you ever needed to know. Jesus' tiny hand curled around Mary as she breastfed him that first night, or around Joseph's as he leaned in close to try to keep them all warm. So small, so vulnerable, so utterly dependent. God had need of people not so different from us, to hold up his tiny head, to sing him to sleep, to trim those impossibly tiny pinky fingernails, to keep him warm and fed and safe. God still has need of people not so different from us, a little worn from the journey, hearts seeking to love and not always getting it exactly right. It was the Almighty God. Almighty, we imagine a superhero, and what we get is a baby. Someone so wrapped in vulnerability, someone utterly dependent on another body to give him life. Because that is what it is to be a human. After all, everyone that you know used to be a baby. Even the most serious person you have ever met used to be a baby. And in this is the good news. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus reveals the sacredness of life, of every human body, every single one, beloved, a worthy temple of the Holy One. And what has come into being in him was life. Messy life, tender life, Life that leaves us broken-hearted and spent. Life where we leave it all out on the field and finally go home. What has come into being in him was life, good life, full of hunger and pleasure and so many beautiful particularities. The cool side of a pillow on a summer night. The noise the wind makes when it goes through aspen trees. The way your dog's paws smell like corn chips. What has come into being in him was life, a life meant to be shared and meant to be lived, meant to be tended to and nurtured in each and every one of us here in our neighborhoods, held in the womb-wrinkled hands of newborns and in the world-wrinkled hands of elders and each of us somewhere in between. There are other Sundays and other seasons for cerebral theology, eschatology and epistemology and atonement theories. But we are getting ready for Christmas. We are getting ready for a baby, for a reminder that these lives we live are shot through with light, brimming with dignity, tender and vulnerable, and every single one of them, holy. Amen.